You know, the Bible says frequently things like this in verse 1 of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Over on Psalm 107, again, we read this. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What does it mean to be thankful? What does it mean to thank the Lord? We say that, oh, thank the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful to the Lord. And I have no doubt that we are. To give us some idea of what thankfulness is, it's gratitude. It's appreciation. It's to be delighted, to be glad, to be gratified, to be happy, to be joyous, to be pleased, to be satisfied. What does it mean to give thanks? To give thanks means to externally express demonstrably, vocally, or verbally from one's heart your appreciation toward or about another. You know, the Bible tells us, and it's very clear, we are to give thanks to the Lord. Paul often would talk about, would write these letters to the churches like in Colossae or Corinth or Ephesus, and he would say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm thankful for people. You know, I'm going to limit this to just three things for which I'm thankful this morning. And there are many, many others I could thank, I could express, many other things I could say, but I just want to talk about these three things, and then I want to give you opportunity to express similar or other things for which you're grateful. I am grateful, first of all, for the gospel. The gospel that saves sinners from a fate that's worse than death. Eternal condemnation for our sin. You know, we're going to go through Romans, and if you read those first three chapters of the book of Romans, you will find that is a very bleak picture of humanity. And it concludes, or one of the last verses that you read in those first three chapters is the verse Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. All have sinned. And we all face it. Sin is a universal, not just a problem, but a condition. And there's not a thing any of us can do. That's what makes the gospel such a wonderful, blessed message. We talked about this a little bit this morning in Sunday school from Mark chapter 15. Part of the gospel we learn is that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for our sins. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Christ died for our sins. That's part of the gospel. And I'm extraordinarily, and the older I get, extraordinarily means a whole lot, thankful and appreciative that Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sins. Because I don't have to do it. Because I can't. Nobody can. And not only that, as we talked about this morning, you understand that when he died, that completed the transaction. It's paid in full, paid completely. That phrase, it is finished, it means it is finished. There's nothing more any of us can do. The price has been paid by one who did not owe the penalty, but he secured our salvation by his finished work. You know, you say, well, you know what? That's bad news. I mean, how can you be grateful that, you know, we're sinners, incapable of saving ourselves? And because of that, we have to pay a price. And the wages of sin, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. As a price none of us can pay. But the reality is, and the good news is, that Christ paid the penalty for us. While we were yet enemies, Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet his enemies, Christ died for us. That's good news. And I think the older I get, and the more I see happening in our world, and the more I talk to people, the more precious the gospel message becomes. Christ died for us. All we can do is believe. All we have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty that the Bible says we owe. How do I know that that's good news? How do I know? Because the Bible also says the other part of the good news is that God raised Christ from the dead. God didn't leave Christ on the cross. God didn't leave Christ in the tomb. Christ arose on the third day, according to the scriptures, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. Christ died for my sins. Christ died for your sins, and all you can do is believe that. You have to trust that. And I pray that you have this morning. I'm grateful for the gospel. I'm grateful, secondly, for the Bible. You know, the psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. The Bible tells us so many things about God. The Bible shows us how we can have, once we have salvation, the Bible shows us how we can develop a relationship with God, a mature relationship with God. The Bible is the only source that does that, by the way. There is no other source. You can't buy a book that will help you. The Quran will not help you. The Bhagavad Gita will not help you. The Book of Mormon will not help you. Those books will drive you further away from God. The only way to come to an intimate relationship with God is to get into His Word. This is what He has revealed. This is what He has declared. It reveals the source of, it reveals the truth, it tells the truth about who we are. We're finite. We're fallen creatures. We're creatures. We're not the Creator. I learned this rule a long time ago, and we've talked about it before. Here's the number one rule of all theology is what? God's God and I'm not. And God's people said amen. We're thankful for that. God, the Bible tells us, the Bible reveals that God, as one theologian put it, God is the infinite and perfect spirit in whom all things have their source, support, and end. Aren't you amazed at the things that the Bible reveals about God? I mean, there are more things we'd like to know about God, but God has not seen fit to allow us in this life at this time to learn those things. Paul was content with that. And so should we be. You know, we can study this book for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. We can study, we will never exhaust what this book reveals about ourselves, about God, about Christ, about itself. This book is inexhaustible, literally. Why? Because it reveals an infinite mind. It reveals, and I love this book. I'm so thankful God has given us His Word. I'm thankful for that. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that Paul tells Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child. You've known these Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The purpose of Scripture is to make people wise to salvation. And by the way, that's not just being born again. It goes on and says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And if you're looking at that, and I butchered it somehow, the Bible tells us that God wants us to be a certain way. He expects certain things of us once we are saved. Only when we are saved. The Bible tells us God doesn't expect those things from an unregenerate, unsaved people. The Bible expects it from us because we have, it says, the mind of Christ. And then finally, all of that leads to this. I'm thankful for this local church. I'm thankful for Grace Bible Church. I really am. I'm sold out to what God is doing here. I'm so thankful that He's brought you here and that He's allowed me to be a part of your lives. Some of you I've known for many years. Some of you I've known for less than a year. But I love you all. I firmly believe this is a great local church. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. But I think one of the things, among several things, one of the things that makes us a great church is that we emphasize God. God matters to us. God is important to Grace Bible Church. This church is about God. Why? Because it's His church, not ours. This church, you come to Grace Bible Church, you will learn about God. You will learn about Christ. You will learn about the Holy Spirit. You'll learn about the triune God. But you also learn this. You'll also learn truth, that truth is expounded and diligently taught. And I want people to be encouraged. I want everybody to be exhorted as we grow, as our theme verse, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. I'm really thankful for grace. God's grace. Grace Bible Church too, but God's grace. I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful we're not under the law. I'm committed to grace living in this life. As the hymn writer expressed it, God's grace is infinitely greater than our sin. That same grace that saves sinners sanctifies us. It helps us. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly. You appreciate God's grace? Are you thankful for God's grace? I see a large part of my duty as a pastor to be encouraged to encourage each person who comes here to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're not here to keep people in line. We're not here to get you to toe the line. We don't have that kind of an agenda here. I don't know what your past experience has been like. That's been mine. Very legalistic. And when we came here in 2009, it was a breath of fresh air. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for the gospel. I'm thankful for so many things. Thankful for God's creation. My wife and I spent a couple of days over on the coast. I was going to say West Coast, but I think you probably already knew that, because if we'd have gone to the East Coast, we wouldn't be back yet. I got to see something that I've never seen before in my life and probably never will again. A gray whale. And this guy pulls up in this pickup. We were out on a pier, and this guy pulls up in this pickup, and he says, "Look, a whale." And Pastor Matt asked me, "Was he pointing at you?" So I'm ready to go back to the coast. No. It was fantastic. I mean, I've never seen something like that. Someone asked me, "Was it big?" And I said, "Well, it was probably smaller to me than it was to the two guys out in the kayak that were about 10 or 20 yards away from it." It's fantastic. God's creation is just fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful things to see. And I'm so thankful. I really am. I just little things. I mean, a whale isn't little, but little things just make you appreciate God even more. And I hope you come to this church and you grow in your appreciation of who God is and His creation, and you love Jesus Christ more in the coming years than you do right now.